Hey, welcome back, everybody. Sorry we're a couple minutes late, but you're going to enjoy this one. This journey we call Living Hope, your journey with pancreatic cancer, as we share the real-life stories of those really affected by this deadly disease and those trying to help them live a bit better and a bit longer, like our host, Roberta Luna. You've been a beneficiary of something here. You've been doing this for a long time.
Oh, just a little bit. What, 23 years, I think.
So. 23 years. In your 23 years, do you think the treatments have changed a lot? Or are we still pretty much just saying, hey, there's not much we can do, and good luck, and I hope you make it here?
That seems to be some of it. But yeah, I'm happy to hear that, or to see that things have changed. When I was diagnosed, there was only a few drugs that I was able to take. And through my course of time, I've been through, I think, most of them. But happy to hear now that there's something that we can really be excited with. And I'm really honored to be joined by Sean Bagai, who's going to tell us what's been going on. Sean is the CEO of Renovix RX. I hope I got that right. And under his leadership, they're pioneering innovative ways to deliver chemotherapy directly to cancer tumors, not just pancreatic, but of course, that's our main interest. So that's probably what we'll be talking about more, is what they are doing with pancreatic cancer. So thank you, Sean, for joining us. We really do appreciate it.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Roberta and OC Talk Radio, Paul, for having me on. I really appreciate it. Sean Bagai here, CEO of RenovaRx, and I appreciate the opportunity. And Roberta, great to talk to a survivor in pancreatic cancer, which we all know too well is a rarity. So you fought the good fight, and it sounds like you've won and winning, and happy to share our story about how we're hopefully changing the treatments that you underwent years ago.
Yeah, thank you. It was quite a trip. And just for also a little more detail for you, I've actually lost four family members to pancreatic cancer. I am the lone survivor of a family of five who've been diagnosed. So I'm happy to see things progressing. Unfortunately, I wish it were faster, and I am still fighting the fight. I still have my tumor, though it is dormant, and it can stay that way until you come up with something that's going to help. Thank you very much, and I appreciate you being here. Can you explain what your company does and their mission behind their work?
Yes, and I'd love to hear your side of the flip side of what we're working on. So as we know all too well, when we have a new therapy, it's about balancing the systemic side effects and toxicities with extending life and hopefully pushing that survival barrier. And what we found at RenovaRx is that you don't have to give up one to get to the other. And what we've also discovered is that, especially in pancreatic cancer, where we spent the bulk of our time in research and now commercial efforts, is that the drugs can work, but one of the biggest issues is delivering them there. And we found specifically with drugs like gemcitabine, we know we kill pancreatic tumor cells outside the body, but because the tumors like pancreatic cancer, bile duct cancers, and other cancers don't have large blood supplies, chemotherapy doesn't reach. What we've developed is a new mechanism of action on actually forcing drug locally into the tissue so you don't get the systemic exposure and side effects. And on the flip side, you get very high concentrations and doses in the tumor, which has a potential effect to keep that tumor at bay and let patients live a lot longer without those chemotherapy side effects.
How does it reach it? Because what my doctor explained to me is like the pancreatic cancer tumor is like a hard-shelled M&M. It's really difficult to break and get into. So how does your program, how does that happen? How does it do that?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Roberta. So it's not just the kind of what they call a desmoplastic barrier or that hard shell on the surface. It's also the lack of transporter blood vessels that are tumor feeders that get in the blood vessel. The way this is now treated with our technology is an interventional radiologist using X-ray can position our delivery system next to the tumor, and then they're able to give a whole full dose of systemic chemotherapy and volume. So imagine over a liter of fluid given in a very small space over a 20-minute infusion. What that does when they isolate a segment of the blood vessel next to the tumor is it creates a pressure head that forces the drug outside the vessel and pushes it into the tumor. So we end up saturating and bathing the tumor for 20 minutes locally with chemotherapy. When given systemically, these drugs don't reach the tumor because of lack of blood flow to the tumors. And like you said, it's got that kind of hard shell or barrier to entry. By saturating and bathing the tissue in chemotherapy, what we find is almost 100 times concentration of drug at the tumor site than if you give it systemically.
How is it able, though? I'm sorry, this may be bad, but how is it able just to detect that's where it needs to be and that's where it's going?
This is another great question. So it's not a matter of detection while we're in the body. to procedure plan, the physicians simply take a standard T or a CAT scan of the area, so they can co-localize or look to see which major blood vessels are closest to the tumor, and then using anatomical landmarks of those blood vessels, know which artery to treat from. So once they're under X-ray, they can target that same artery and then position our delivery system next to the tumor. This is relatively simple for physicians to learn and pick up because in the pancreas, there are really three major blood vessels that traverse either around or through the pancreas. So it's relatively easy to target which is the closest artery to the tumor and thus where they should place our delivery system.
It sounds like this approach would be really potential and treatment changing for someone like myself whose tumor is considered locally advanced and unresectable. So, and it does involve, unfortunately, mine does involve the main artery and the veins that go through it. So is that something that, how does it, when you have that much going on, how is it able to detect the right way to go?
That's actually a great point. In fact, the bulk of our experience to date has been locally advanced unresectable pancreatic tumors. And the reason is because if they can take the tumor out, as the surgeons will take it out. And unfortunately, once it's metastasized, they give systemic chemotherapy. But if it's locally advanced unresectable, it's often unresectable because, as you mentioned, the tumors are wrapping around the arteries and the blood vessels, or they're adjacent to them and they can't peel it off. This provides a perfect target for us. So again, using that imaging or CT scan or CAT scan, they can identify which tumor or where the tumor is in the body and which blood vessel is abutting next to it, and then position the catheter right there to push and locally deliver high dose of the chemotherapy.
Is it a new drug they're using, or is it one that we currently have?
So to date, it's been a drug we currently have. You probably recall or familiar with gemcitabine. So it's a very well-known drug. It's standard of care for many tumors. It's been around for decades, and we chose gemcitabine because we know it has a high activity to kill tumor cells when it can reach. But the biggest issue has been delivery. In fact, there's been a new addition of Abraxane to gemcitabine as a standard of care. And one of the issues with Abraxane is obviously the systemic toxicities, the neuropathies, but they believe that the Abraxane helps get more gemcitabine into the tumor cells. What we discovered and learned, we said, look, gemcitabine is working, but if it's a matter of getting it there, we found a much better way to mechanically force it in the tissue at very high doses.
So do you use the two drugs together? I'm very familiar with them. So do you use the two drugs together, mm-hmm. or are they used separately?
They're actually used separately to date. And again, the reason is we didn't find the need to give more toxicity to the body if delivery is the issue. So we wanted to start with gemcitabine, given how well profiled it is, how well studied it is, how many tumors it's used in, and see if that works first and then expand. We were pleasantly surprised to see that the average survival from our phase one trials was over 2.5 years for patients with just gemcitabine as a single agent, with a massive reduction in toxicity. So the goal was start with gemcitabine and go from there. And to date, for the last decade, we've been using primarily gemcitabine in our clinical trials because of the success we've seen so far. What's amazing, though, is the sky's the limit. As new drugs are developed, we can look at combination therapies to deliver it because we've got a platform system with this new mechanism of treatment.
But you have somebody that are studies that have gone for an extra 2.5 years of quality life?
Yes, exactly. So in the phase one trials, we actually had, I think 28 months was the median survival time for patients with locally advanced non-resectable pancreatic cancer. We're currently wrapping up our phase three trial, and we did have interim results earlier on that showed similar benefits, an extension of quality of life. And amazingly, as we talked about a little bit, is the side effect profile. We saw a 65% reduction in toxicities and side effects, which is rare for new therapy to actually get quality of life and toxicities down to almost looking like patients aren't having chemotherapy to begin with.
Yeah, sometimes those side effects can really be the bad side, obviously. What are the normal side effects that you are seeing with this treatment?
Not a lot. We did see a small subset of patients have some nausea and abdominal pain in our earlier studies, but found that there's a certain anatomical and tumor-related symptoms, and screening out for those patients have really decreased that. So you see a little bit of systemic exposure. In fact, our earlier studies looking at systemic exposure show about 50% less circulating in the body. So you do see some levels of neutropenia or nausea, but it's massively reduced. So I'd say it's almost imagine the chemotherapy side effects and reduce that drastically where it becomes minimal and almost livable.
Oh, that's awesome. That's amazing. And I think Paul has a question, actually.
I'm sitting here with my mouth wide open because Roberta and others have told me that the problem with chemotherapy, as somebody described it, is like trying to get a sliver out with a sledgehammer. You smash everything around it. Yeah. And in the process, some people choose not to even go through it because it's, as you say, systemically, you get sick and it kills all this stuff here. So it sounds like you've come up with, I'm just trying to clarify, you've come up with a technique to deliver existing cancer-killing drugs targeted to the where it needs to be. And so there's you get more into where it needs to go and less in the rest of the body and therefore less of this side effect. Is that what you're saying? It's more targeted and it does a better job because you get more in to where it's supposed to go and less where it's not supposed to go?
Absolutely, Paul. The way I describe this is it's generally been a trade-off with new therapies. And we get the best of both worlds. The patients live like they're normal human beings and get to go about their daily lives. And hopefully for a lot longer based on hammering the tumor with precision at the tumor site versus the whole body. In fact, I remember talking to one of our advisors recently, and she was saying that as a medical oncologist, she said, you know what, 50 years from now, we're going to look back at medicine and oncology today and think about how barbaric it is. Let's carpet bomb the entire body and hoping we get to the tumor. Or like you said, smash this liver with a sledgehammer. So we found a much more targeted mechanism of taking drugs we know work and let's actually get them to the tumor.
So here's my follow-up question. That was my clarifying question. Here's my follow-up question. Why isn't this front page news in the pancreatic cancer world? Because everybody, here's a disease. What's the survival rate now? 13%, 14%?
13% right now.
Was what? When you started with 4%?
We have 4%.
And so, yippee, it's come up to 4%. That's good, but it's still a long way from where people want to see it. This sounds like it has the potential to not only increase that lifespan, but to give people a better quality of life in the process. This should be front page news and all the Pancreatic Cancer Association stuff here. Is this just new?
Yep, it's you nailed it, Paul. It's new and it's coming. So we're wrapping up our phase 2 trial. And of course, in the oncology world, we'd like to see definitive randomized trial data. And as we're wrapping this trial up, we should see that forthcoming. In the meantime, we have had major presentations, late-breaking trials in the big conferences. So we have received quite a few journal articles. In fact, on the physician page of our website, there's many publications. But to get to the front page, we'll need to wrap up the trial. And in the meantime, we're actually commercializing the device component to make this more accessible to patients for a variety of treatments and tumors. You'll hear more and more about this as we go forward, I'm sure.
And I got to ask one last question if Roberta will let me here. She tells me, this may be a biased opinion here, but she and others have come in here that part of the problem is pancreatic cancer doesn't kill enough people. It's not that big. It's not breast cancer or something. Therefore, researchers and entrepreneurs don't focus on it. Is that true? If so, why did you focus, start with pancreatic cancer?
This is one of those stories, Paul, where you have a physician that sees a need and comes up with an idea. We've been a very grassroots company from the beginning. So back in 2009, Dr. Ramtin Agad, the inventor and founder of the technology, had a patient as a vascular specialist with a bleeder. And he said, there's got to be a way, and it's a pancreatic cancer patient, there's got to be a way to stop bleeding or deliver therapeutics or help locally treat the ailment that he saw in front of him. There wasn't a good technology in the shelf. And as a biomedical engineer, invented what we call the RenovoCath, or this double balloon system that can isolate blood flow and deliver therapies to the pancreas, and quickly found the biggest issue with pancreatic cancer is the lack of a target. So this was basically a need that was seen, not a huge need, as much as you said. Pancreatic cancer is not as big as breast cancer in terms of numbers, but a very important need. And then over time, helped develop the therapy. And when I took over the company, I thought this is really going to change a lot of patients' lives. And this is important to get funded. It's important to research. It's important to see if this really works. And it looks like we're almost there.
Wow. Okay. Back to Roberta. That is huge. That's phenomenal. I feel like we're breaking news here on the show. Yeah.
It's something that, like I said, for me, it's great to hear something like this because I knew if I stuck around long enough, they'd come up with something. It's just to hear because so many people are under the assumption that if you can't get to it and there's no surgery, then you're not going to survive. And there's a lot of us that are surviving for whatever reason, but to have something like this, just to know that the possibility is out there, it just gives a lot of people hope. And can you talk a little bit about clinical trials, though? I know you said you're in phase 3 right now. Can you describe the different ones and what each one basically does or is?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for the question, Roberta. So the phase one clinical trials was more of a catch-all. We wanted to explore in pancreatic cancer what the dosing should be, how many treatments. And then from that, we learned that we give, and our phase three trial is designed as such, we give just a few months of upfront systemic gemcitabine plus Abraxane. They sandwich in a short course of radiation, which helps our treatment. And then patients are randomized to continuation systemic chemotherapy. So they receive 4 more months of gemabraxane. That's a control arm. So we're comparing this in a very controlled fashion to standard of care to prove out that this may be better. And then our treatment arm, the patients get 8 treatments over 4 months. So as you recall, if you were on gemabraxane, you're going in almost a weekly basis of 3 out of 4 weeks. Our patients are in the hospital once every 2 weeks. It's an outpatient procedure. It's only 90 minutes on average. They go home the same day. They're not put under. And then they return back to relatively normal lives afterwards, is what we've seen so far in our trials. And then we follow for survival. So the goal is to show an improvement in overall survival and then look at a bunch of secondary endpoints like quality of life, systemic toxicities. And that's, we anticipate we're at about 15 or 16 centers across the U.S. The trial sites can be found on our website as well. That trial is anticipated to complete enrollment towards the end of this year, beginning of next year.
That was a question somebody's tweeting in here. Sorry. How can they find these trials, and are you still accepting participants?
Can you give
them the question? Yeah, so the website is renovorx.com. That's R-E-N as in Nancy, O-V-O-R-X.com. And if you go into clinical trials, there's a clinical trial site finder there, and you can look on the map and enter in details. Alternatively, you can submit your information on the contact section of our website, and we can help you connect you with some of those trial sites.
Is there one down here in Orange County where we're at?
Ironically, there's not a phase three clinical trial site in Orange County. Having said that, we have recently commercialized the catheter, the delivery system RenovoCath. And there are several centers across the U.S. have started to adopt this and using this outside the study for kind of a broad liver use. And the City of Hope is one of them in Orange County.
There you go. There you go.
I'm sorry. Can you just the difference between the phase one trial and the phase three?
Yeah. So the phase one was more of a, it was more of an all-comer trial for locally advanced pancreatic cancer. And what we didn't control is what they had before our treatment. So there were varying chemotherapies, radiation, some were treatment naive. The phase, based on what we learned from the phase one, and it was a dose escalation study as well. So we looked at what doses we can give without causing local toxicities or local issues. The phase three was designed based on the data that if we give upfront chemotherapy for a few months, which really ensures it is truly locally advanced and not metastatic pancreatic cancer, and if we get upfront radiation, patients should do better. So the randomized trial is based on upfront chemo radiation, and then it's a randomized controlled trial of systemic chemotherapy versus our local therapy.
And I think that's an important point to emphasize, because we've had people come in and talk about clinical trials. You've had people on the show who didn't want to do clinical trials because the assumption is one group's getting a placebo. They're getting nothing. They're getting no benefit. And that's not the case, right? Even if you're in a clinical trial, it's a misconception that some of the group's going to get nothing and therefore not any help in the treatment. You're saying they still get regular treatment, and then the control group gets your treatment to see if it's better.
Absolutely, Paul. In fact, that's one of the concerns that people have had, is that they have this 50% chance of not receiving this new innovative treatment. But the worst case scenario is they get the current standard of care, along with the attention they get being a clinical trial subject, where they actually have more nurses, more physicians watching them, monitoring them. And so I'd say, and I think there's data on this as well, is that clinical trial patients generally end up doing better because they're looked after and watched like a hawk, if you will. And it's in trials like these, it's not a placebo. They still get the standard of care treatment that they otherwise would have gotten nothing in the trial.
Wow. You've blown out how many years we've been doing this show, and all our assumptions are out the window now here. Right?
Yeah, we're going on our fourth year, actually, and it's always learning, and it's what it's all about, and really appreciate everything that you guys are doing. And what do you see on the horizon for technology and for the future?
In our last 2 minutes here.
Yeah, so it's our drive has always been to really help patients, and I feel our current state of affairs in new technologies and therapies is oftentimes ignoring the patient and the quality of life that comes along with new therapies and treatments. So our goal is to continue this in locally advanced pancreatic cancer. As I mentioned, we've now commercialized the technology. where physicians can use this on any ailment if they deem it fit. We've just launched a registry trial as well to look at different types of tumor treatments with our catheter. And it's really driving that quality of life and then hopefully extending survival. And Roberta, you probably recall, I'd love to hear in the last 30 seconds maybe your experience, but we've seen our patients, and in fact, in the investor section of our website, there's some clinical news stories that actually have some of our patients in the news, and they talk about their experience about building kitchens during therapy and bicycle riding and eating food. And I've got one physician who said her patient plays golf the day after her therapy every time against her wishes. But I don't know, Roberta, if you had that same experience when you're going through chemotherapy to have this level of activity.
It took me a while because I think the first few months I was so sick that I really couldn't do a whole lot. But at some point, I don't know if it's because my body got used to it or what, but I was more able to have a more normal life. I was able to go back to work at least part time. But yeah, those first few months were, I got to be honest, were pretty miserable. And I wondered sometimes why in the heck I was even doing it. But so it's good to hear that there's something on the rise there now that will make the side effects less toxic or less painful or whatever it is you need to go through to
and the target results
continue.
Better
yeah, yeah exactly and have that quality mm-hmm. of life, because that's all what we all want, right? We want the quality of life, we want the reason why we're living, why we're doing this.
And you've had people on the show who said, I chose to stop even if that means I might die, because I want to have whatever time is left with my family and have a quality of life.
Yeah, because a lot of the side effects they were going through were so rough that it's won't get real descriptive, but you don't want to be spending all your time being sick. You want to be out there. That's what we're all here for, to enjoy our families and not put the families through what they go through as well. Before we leave you, any words, wisdom or advice or hope you want to instill in anyone?
More hope than he's already given us here?
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's
pretty hopeful message here today. How far is this
yeah,
from?
I really appreciate the time.
How far is this from the patient? Somebody, people like to say, when can I expect to see this? It's still got years to go through clinical trials. I know it moves so slowly, the FDA approvals for this.
Yeah, we're getting very close. So the completion of the drug device combination trial is around the corner with completion of enrollment. But as mentioned, the device itself is FDA cleared. So if physicians that have now are starting to purchase the catheter and treat patients, the treatment's available today for several tumor types, several drugs. And again, if there's any interest, we're actually going to have a new website called renovocath.com, which is not launched yet as we're launching this registry to see, explore where else this can be used. But always come to our website, the contact form, we can give you more information.
So give us again, because I think Roberta fumbled it in her intro here. I think you read it wrong here.
What's that? What did I do?
You said
no problem. It's a, yeah, it's a renovorx.com. That's renovorx.com.
I think you said Renovix or something here or whatever.
Okay, pick on me.
That's okay.
You've got to get even with me for earlier.
We got it. All right.
But thank you so much, Sean, for coming. We really do appreciate it. And I really do want to have you come back and talk more, because it's very interesting. There's still more questions I would really love to talk about and ask you. But thank you for your time. And we'll maybe next time we can have you actually in the studio.
Yeah, so we got to get you down here and tell us more here. Bring the folks from the City of Hope.
Okay. That'd be fantastic. Roberta, great to hear your story as well. I'd love to dive in a little more about your direct experience and what therapies you went through and how that went, because this is so important for other patients to hear what alternatives are looking like with the new age of medicine.
Yeah, we'll do that. Maybe I'll fare it some other time. But my favorite drug, just to tell you, was the F5U, and you could probably figure out why. Anyway, we'll leave it at that. And thank you again.
Yep.
As long as you speak my name, I shall live forever is dedicated to Jessica Lynn Rowe. And I will be opening my Guinness and cheering her on and saluting her later today. So thank you.
There you have it. There's hope on the horizon in this edition of Living Hope, your journey with pancreatic cancer, sharing the real life stories of those really affected by this deadly disease and how they deal with it and what they have to look forward to as a new world of medicine is on the horizon. If you want to find out more, contact us here at the station. And as always, thanks for tuning in. Hope you'll share this with somebody as we continue this journey called Living Hope.